Agenda item number 14, pertaining to pound net siting and the public interest review. Mr. Chris.
Good afternoon. We have before you today a public interest review on a pound net application along the Northern Neck of Mr. Thomas D. Gaskins. He has applied to license and locate a pound net in Chesapeake Bay, approximately 3,000 feet southwest of the Little Wetumpka River approach light. And the proposed pound net location is also a currently licensed state gillnet light, state gillnet site, which is another type of fixed fishing device. And Mr. Gaston is basically requesting the ability to convert this site from a state site to a pound net site. The area we're talking about is along the Northern Neck of Virginia, just above Reedville. This area I've circled here on the map. As we zoom in closer, you'll notice a lot of green and yellow. The yellows represent current state gillnet sites, and the green is current pound net sites. These are all approved sites. The site circled here is the applicant's where he's proposing to put the pound net, where there is currently a state gillnet site. And you'll notice up and down the shoreline here, there are already approved state gillnet sites, one to the north, several to the south, and then further there is more pound nets offshore in this area. This site, which is, again, it's already a currently state gillnet site, is approximately 50 feet off the shoreline. It's right off the end of one groin. There are several properties here along the shoreline within 500 feet. Those were all duly notified through the public review process, and we've received many public comments from those property owners, as you saw in your evaluation packet. The actual length of the net, the application is approximately 1,200 feet. Though on here you'll see it's about 1,019 on mapping, but this is it's not as precise as the engineer site that Ben and Hank always show. For the commission's interest, because some may not have seen these before, there is basically a guideline that we go by for reviewing public pound net applications. When we consider the licensing of a pound net at a new location, the commission is guided by deliberations of the provisions of Article 11, Section 1 of the Constitution of Virginia, and the Public Trust Doctrine. The commission also considers the effects and placement of a pound net at a new location on the following six items: other reasonable and permissible uses of state waters, the marine and fishery resources of the Commonwealth, tidal wetlands, adjacent and nearby properties, water quality, and submerged aquatic vegetation. Now, following a public hearing, the commission may issue the pound net license for the new location as applied. You may deny the license, or you may actually issue it for a modified location. We have received quite a bit of public comment on this application. The public comment period did end on February 19th. The one I just passed out came in after the site, but we did allow it. Some of the public comments that we have received, you also noted in the evaluation packet, the net is unacceptably close to the shoreline and would inhibit nearshore navigation. It would impair fishing from the shoreline. It may cause debris, poles, or dead fish to wash up on the shoreline. It would present a negative impact on the wildlife populations to include Menhaden. The net would inhibit the use of private and public property. The net would have an immediate negative impact on the property values of the shoreline, and a request to move the net 1,000 feet offshore. We also received public comments and support, which is part of your packet. Mr. Gaston's one comment was that Mr. Gaston's grandfather actually had a pound net at this site for 35 years prior to the current residential development. A comment of from a property owner that has a pound net of Mr. Gaston's off his property on the Potomac, noting that Mr. Gaston's operates a clean pound net operation, doesn't notice any trash or dead fish or excessive noise from that site, and that also noted that, you know, they enjoyed a pound net on that end because they attract numerous species of birds, including bald eagles and ospreys. In regards to the opposition comments, I'm trying to go through them each in detail. First off, The ones where the net is too close to the shoreline would inhibit the use of private and public property and would have an immediate negative impact on property values. I'll say right up front, as far as the impact on property values, we have no way of assessing that. So whether that is something that is actually does happen or not, we don't. But I'll show you an example of other areas where we have these nets already along the shoreline as well, not just here. It's not without precedent. Inhibiting the use of private and public property. I'll get into that a little closer on one particular slide, but the nets are set, this one in particular, is set about 50 feet offshore and out. It's not even running up to mean low water based on the coordinates that we have. We could see where there could be a problem here for someone that's maybe wanting to run a vessel in or out from their beachfront, but as we'll note numerous times in the presentation, this is an area that already has numerous net sites in the vicinity up and down this shoreline. So it's not adding. In fact, with a net already, a stake gill net already on this site, and this is a conversion to a pound net, the addition of a negative impact is hard to see. It already exists with the current site. As far as being excessively close to the shoreline, again, it's approximately 50 feet offshore from the inshore pole based on the coordinates that we have. And it's not uncommon to have a town that this close to shore. Eastern Shore of Virginia, this is an area just north of Chesapeake State Park, about 5 miles north of the high rise on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. And this is not uncommon along the eastern shore side. You'll see these are all pound nets, some 3 deep along the eastern shore side. So it's not without precedent to have a pound net this close in the shore. And I will note on these particular pound nets, not 50 feet offshore, a lot of them run their anchor right up to mean low water. So again, when we have to look at precedent in these cases, we have precedent for a pound net to be in this type of location. And that would impair fishing from the shoreline. Now, there is an issue here. Section 2020-35 of the No Fishing Zone of Virginia Administrative Code, there is a prohibition for fishing within 125 feet on either side of a pound net. This is already established in the Administrative Code. However, it's only enforced when the actual pound net applicant places flags of a certain type on the poles of the net. The flags are to indicate to law enforcement, enforce the rule. If they don't place the flags, they don't need to enforce the rule. I've spoken to Mr. Gaskins directly about this issue, and Mr. Gaskins, who is here, and he can speak for himself, but he has reiterated to me he has no intent of flying the flag and prohibiting fishing on either side of this net. And I'll let him, again, he can address that directly to you when he comes up here. But I have asked him about this. But that would be the zone, if it was enforced, that would be the zone prohibiting any recreational fishing on either side of this net. As far as inhibiting nearshore navigation, we've run across this argument before, and we understand when you're running a kayak or a canoe or a sea-doo or something up and down in these shallow waters, yes, you would run up and down the shoreline. That's understandable. But as we've seen with other areas, there are already other nets on either side and actually a net site on this site. So when you look at the site, the obstacle is there regardless of whether it's a stake gill net site or a pound net site. It's the same obstacle. And there are obstacles to the north and to the south. What we have run across on the eastern shore with these issues where they're already established sites, they just do an in and out more. A lot of the ones over there have a run where they just go in the shore and out the shore instead of up and down the shore. This is a shallow water area. There are some deep sloughs. The closest navigation channel is 3,000 feet to the north. But that doesn't mean vessels don't navigate through here, private vessels. So we recognize this as a potential user conflict, but as there is already a site there, it's hard to sit here and say we're adding a conflict to the site. So when staff goes through the public comment commission review process and we go through the 6 items, there are no tidal wetlands being impacted, no water quality issues identified, no submerged aquatic vegetation issues here. Marine fishery resources, you'll see in the public comments that were presented, there was concerns about, you know, adding additional gear into the bay. Was 161 pound nets allowed in the bay? It is a capped number, and we're not at that 161. So this is within our cap for the Chesapeake Bay for a pound net. So that is not an issue. I'll also note that pound nets are passive gear. It's not a, you know, you don't set it out there to chase the fish. You have the fish come to you, basically, and if it's not a good site, they're not going to fish there very long. So, you know, we do have that issue as well with a pound net. Adjacent nearby properties, again, other than the fact of placement, it is near shore. There is already a site there for state gill net. As far as property values go, I cannot address that. Other reasonable and permissible use of state waters, the biggest one probably being navigation of kayak canoes, you do in that area. Maybe you're running a shallow water vessel into your shoreline and out. If there wasn't already set gear in that area, north and south, for staff, this would be a larger issue to address. But as there is already gear there, and for keeping them offshore, running to the from an east-west navigation, we could not find that this is adding anything additional to what already exists. Staff is recommending the approval of Mr. Gaston's application as submitted. It was advertised actually twice for this, because the first time we advertised it, we had an issue where letters didn't reach the property owners that were within 500 feet of the application. So we advertised it a second time, which ended this past Thursday on the 19th. You have received all the comments we have on this, and again, Mr. Gaston is here, as are some of the protesters.
Thank you, Mr. Gris. Any questions, Mr. Gris? Ms. Heath.
Just one question as to navigation. You mentioned kayaks and sea-doos, but he has 50 feet inshore for them to navigate, right?
Well, the thing with the 50 feet inshore, and I've had this be the closing slide, is you'll notice a set of groins that are along this beachfront. Actually, with the way the coordinates work on this one, it looks to be placed where the inshore pole would be just off one of those groins. So you already have that series of, you know, you're not going to come directly down inside of it because those are there. So other areas in the bay, we have that situation. You could probably run inshore of it. Here, I wouldn't suggest it.
Mr. Sessions.
What's the minimum distance that we have between nets per code?
Is 900 feet between nets side to side.
So I don't know if it's pertinent because there's already a net there, but it's 900 feet between this net and the other two?
The ones on the north, right, and the south, yes. And again, to be clear, Mr. Gaston's proposal is if this is approved, he will forfeit his state gill net site, obviously, to make this a pound net site. It won't be both.
Right.
And then the other two nets are lawful. They are the proper distance on the north and the south.
Other questions? Thank you, Mr. Gris. Is the applicant present? Mr. Gaskins, I want to swear you in here, if you would, please. That's good. You hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self God. Thank you. Please step to the microphone, state your name for the public. And
I'm Thomas Gaskins.
Mr. Gaskins, what do you need to tell the commission here at this point?
Well, I wanted to add to a little bit of what Mr. Gris said. You know, as far as, you know, I know there's a concern with navigation. You know, I know everybody's worried about that and everything. But, you know, as Mr. Gris stated, there are state gill nets up and down the shoreline. And whether this site is a state gill net site or a pound net site, there's going to be poles there, you know, and boats should have to, you know, navigate around them, whether it be a pound net or a state gill net. That won't change. And as far as the site goes, you know, the reason I chose this site is because I do have a state gill net here. It does well. My grandfather fished this site. You know, my uncle said it was probably 35, but it's probably 50 years ago, you know. He fished it for a long time. I think it's probably around 25 years he fished this one stand. After he passed, my uncle took the stand over, and he fished it for probably another 10 years or so, and then he got out of it. You know, he got too old. And, you know, now I'm trying to give it a go, too. you know, I hope that you can approve this for me. Any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
I do.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. How far could you slide this thing offshore without interfering with you, your operation? I mean, we're talking 50 feet, which is, you know, up here. Could you slide 50 feet? Could you slide it 100? What would mess you up?
Well, after I talked to Mr. Griffin, I, you know, realized there was some public comment on it. I went to the offshore coordinate and measured the depth of the water, and if you jump off 25 feet, it deepens by 2 feet, and if you jump off 50 feet, it deepens another 3 feet. Well, another foot from the two, so it's 3 feet of water difference. The poles that I have cut are already, you know, the size poles that I need for this. You add 3 feet of water, that's 3 feet less pole you have. You know, it won't work for me. All the net is rigged. You know, we have cutwaters up and down the net that, you know, will provide the, you know, the right depth for this.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Gaskin. Is there anybody here in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this application? Is there anybody here who wishes to testify in opposition to this application? Yes, ma'am, please come forward. Let me swear you in as well, please. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God?
Yes, I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Janet Shook. I live at Lot 11. It's a couple lots away from where this new town that is to be. I believe that my place is on the slide up there. It's right at the point where the point goes out. And up from that slide, it appears that one of the existing panel nets is right at my property now. I guess I didn't know it was a panel net. We just moved there at the end of November. So from where I sit, there are many, many sets of poles and nets out there, and I watch the barges go up in barges, oil tankers, everything out in the major channel where the big ships navigate. And then you've got the fishing vessels that come out, and they're not usually navigating up close to shore. They're moving on out, too. There's really nothing going on near those fish nets, except for when they're coming to do some work, or they're pulling, maybe they're pulling the gill nets. I've only seen it a few times. But with this 50 feet offshore really got the whole community's attention that, you know, there could be, if there's like a wall there combined with all the other poles that are farther out, some people in small skiffs or whatever might decide they're going to come in close to the shore to not have to go way out and then come back in to be able to go to Reedville or whatever, you know. And there are sandbars that are right across from our property, and we can see the gulls standing on the sandbar. There's a lot of beach erosion that already goes on in the area, and any more navigation of vehicles up really close to the shore to kind of come close to the shore than where that helm net starts or whatever, we were concerned that it might shift the nature of how the sandbars survive over time and the beach erosion, and that's where the concern for the property values are. I know some of my neighbors have already lost 50 feet since they bought there in the early 1980s. We've got groins there. They're on the slide, and we have to protect our groins. We're concerned about vehicles cutting through, perhaps having a collision with the groins or the wake stirring up things to make them deteriorate faster than they would otherwise. So it's really the proximity to the shore. I know nothing. I mean, I want to support the fishing industry. I grew up in Northumberland County. I love the seafood. I moved there for it. I have no gripe with trying to support fishing. It's just that proximity to shore that made us all start wondering about, well, what's going to be going on so close to our shores. The beautiful view that we came there for, the privacy, the quiet, you know, that's the concern. So I wanted to voice that here for you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Schiff. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Ms. Schiff?
I had a question for you.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. If would it be your suggestion to then move the net further offshore, and what distance would that be?
I would suggest moving it farther offshore. I'm not sure I'm prepared to give the exact distance. My suggestion in the email we sent was not to have it any closer to shore than what we're able to see from our shore now, and we don't have any poles within 50 feet of the beach. 1,000 feet sounds good.
Well, the reason I ask is because your protest letter did not indicate a distance that you would seem to be reasonable. I think maybe 1,000 feet is unreasonable. can maybe I have a follow-up question?
Ms. Erskine.
Maybe for Mr. Griss, but is there a distance with some of the other poles that are existing there or the other nets, stands that are there, a distance from shore? Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you, Ms.
Pictures of the poles on my camera. I mean, I'm not prepared to put it off the show at one.
That's okay.
So the majority of the six devices in this area are within the 1,500 feet range of the shoreline. I haven't measured every single one leading into this particular review, but I mean, just
I guess the most northerly and
yeah, here is the most northerly here. And here's a southerly, and you can tell, you know, just eyeball it, each one of these is approximately right off the end of a groin distance, which is about 50 feet. If you talk about trying to shift this further out, say 50 feet, 100 feet out, I would comment that if the northern and southern and the other nets in this area were not already in existence, that would seem reasonable. However, if you just shift this out, then if someone wants to run inshore, they still have to go around this one, cut inside, and zigzag through here. Unless, because we're not in the position of shifting all the nets offshore. So that is an issue. The other thing is just to remember, and it may be since they haven't seen a pound net up close in operation, and I will comment, all the opposition and Mr. Gaskin, everybody, this has been a really good group to work with, regardless, unlike some we've had. This has been actually a very pleasant one to work through, and I'm very appreciative of that. The leader is inshore. The head typically is offshore. So the most of the operation is going to happen, once the net is set, it's going to be offshore out in the 1,000-foot area, not right up against the beach.
Right, and I appreciate that. I guess we're not dealing with the ones that are in the vicinity. We can't, that's not within the purview of this. What we're discussing is that proposed net. So there's been opposition, and obviously we want to consider all of those comments. I'm not purposefully just trying to make navigation more difficult, zigzagging in and out.
You're considering the same thing that we did over the last, actually, couple months of going through this. And when we receive such comments, trying to look at possible other ways to mitigate this, it's just in taking it offshore. If this was by itself, nothing else north and south and offshore, it's one thing. But this one, because there are established lakes north and south, the mitigation didn't seem to work for this situation.
I may pitch in a comment here, which is...
Chief O'Reilly.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. From the earliest days of this public siting review, which developed after a complaint, several complaints along the Rappahannock area, Windmill Point area, this regulation was developed strictly for new or transferred nets. It was stated even years ago that the public siting guidelines that we have, the six that Joe showed you that went over, that they may at some point need to be looked at by the commission and assessed, and maybe there should be other guidelines. But many times we have told the commission, some members were not present during those hearings, that these are our guidelines that we go by. And then we also rely on the cap of 161 licenses, which Joe mentioned. That's just a cap. That doesn't mean we have all 161 licenses set. So there are some limitations. It would be worthy at some point to figure out what other guidelines the commission might want to consider, but I just want to remind those who haven't been through too many of those that staff has always pointed that out to you, just as Joe had today. So thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Ms. Haney.
I just want to make sure I understand, he already has permission to put a state gill net there.
The very site.
At the very site, so he would be within that 50 feet with a state gill net, and that's how it's been in the past?
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, there is an existing site there, and this is more of a transfer of gear type than it is establishing a brand new fixed fishing site, because there is already a site established.
And there have been no navigation complaints?
Not that I'm aware of, and not that have been relayed to us through law enforcement.
Wait, let me pin that down a little bit here. It's an existing state gill net site.
Yes.
Does that mean that there's an actual state gill net there?
I'm here there, and I'll leave that to Mr. Gaskins to address when the last time was he actually fished it.
Mr. Gaskins, that would be an interesting facet, fact for us to know, I think.
Yes, sir. Yes, I have the state gill net site that we're looking at now, and the one to the north will be on the top of the screen. I've fished both of those for the past 5 years, and I fished them this year also.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard in opposition to this application? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
Mr. Sussex? Well, my feeling is that he meets the distance requirement of 900 feet. There's already a site there. The other ones are 50 feet off. My thinking is to go ahead and approve it. So I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the application. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Haynes. Further discussion? Well, call for the vote then. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well here. The application is approved.